Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Wow, we have several callers lined up, so we're going to get right into it. But first, I want to give the call-in number for those who haven't called, 914-338-0164. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us, please. Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us, callers. What else? Follow us. Send us a friend request. You may do so on Facebook. And there's a page for the show, as well as a page for Neil and our personal page as well, which is really tied into our professional work. We really don't do much personal posting, but we'd like you to join us there. So do support us. You may also follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. But again, 914-338-0164, the number to call for further conversation, 562-596-7818. That's how you get in touch with us after the show. All right, let's bring on 919, who's been waiting for 20 minutes very patiently. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. Hi, how are you? You know, if you would speak up, I'm going to turn up the volume.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I want to make sure that we can hear you. What's your name?
My name is Kay.
You're good, and we can hear you now. Kay?
Okay, great. Yes, Kay.
Yeah, part of it was my fault here because I didn't have the volume turned up. Kay. And
yes.
Kay, where are you calling from?
Hi. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, Atlanta. Have we spoken with you before? I don't remember.
No, I've never called in.
Okay, well, welcome to the show. So what's going on?
I'm not really sure the format since I've never called in, so I'm not sure what information you need, but I do have a question or a concern.
What's your question?
I'm in a relationship with a young lady, and I'm just wondering, should I continue or how should I continue with this? Maybe that's the best way to say it.
A romantic relationship?
Yes.
Okay. Let's get your birth date and her birth date.
My birthday is 12/29/66, 4:20 a.m. Her birthday is 5. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Her birthday is 5/10/74.
I wrote down a 5, so that's her month. 12/29/66. Let's add that up. 9/10/11/12/13/14/24/36/9, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we make addition errors, so I want to make sure. 5/10/74, her birthday's coming up. 6,
9.
16.
Yes.
And she's a 27/9. Okay. And so you're having some problems in the relationship?
Yes, it's not going as I would hope and pray. And just, it's like neither one of us really want to let the other go. I just don't see how healthy it is and how healthy it would continue. Well, no, I'm sorry. I'm wondering, will it continue to be a healthy?
Will it continue? Or is it worthwhile?
Yes.
I mean, it may continue. It may continue if you choose to be in it. But if it's unhealthy, right? So how long have you been together? Has it been less than a year?
No, more than a year.
More than a year? How long?
Almost 3 years. A little bit less.
3 years?
Than 3 years. Yes.
3 years. So 2000, and 16.
And this, yes, and there have been a moment or two where things did kind of break off. So that might be the less than a year energy you picked up.
Oh, so you the last the last section of your relationship has been less than a year because there was a breakup?
Yes, yes.
So when did you get back together?
September.
September, so that would be less than a year, and that's actually a 9, which is your master number as well. The 29 in your birthday, Kay, indicates that you might have some difficulties in relationship. Has that been your experience throughout life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if we should get more information on the nature of the problem. Do you want to say something,
well,
Neil?
Well, you know, okay,
Neil, maybe.
As Kristen was saying, you both hold the same master number in numerical energy. You both are 9s in your master number. That part's good because it suggests that there's a sheer determined part of life where you were supposed to meet with this person and have a relationship. Now, that's the composition of that does suggest some past life connections and some destiny and things like that. So you two were meant to meet. Mm-hmm. That's not the problem. The difficulty arrives in the, well, there's an 8-year difference. Okay, so what? So there's an 8-year difference. That's not the most demanding problem. There's a zero in her. There's a zero in her day. Now, okay, that suggests that could bring about some difficulties. I'm not sure if she gets depressed or if she has mood swings, that you're kind of on eggshells at times. You don't know how she's going to be. Does any of that sound true?
Yes. She will probably never admit that she's depressed, but yeah, she's not consistent. And you said one of the problems, her, the love that she expressed, and I genuinely, she does love me. She's just not consistent with it. Meaning she lets whatever is going on in her life take control, and she gets in that depressed moment, and she's not consistent in the loving aspect. So
yeah.
It's not like she's mean by no means, but she gets so focused on what's going on, and she hates confrontation. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Not that you have conflict, but she will not take the table.
Got it. Well, you know, Kay, some people can have a kind of unstable family background dynamics, and some of us know with that pretty well, and some of us don't. Probably your partner had some unstable family situations growing up, and that instability has encouraged her to not feel stable in a relationship. And when there is stability, she starts to freak out a little bit too.
Yes. Point on. Yes.
Yeah.
Have you tried like going to a counselor, or is she open to that?
We have not. In the past, she has not really been open to it. But whenever I'm ready, well, I shouldn't say when I'm ready, the time that I'm just done, she's willing to do whatever needs to be done. But then goes the consistency. She's not, it's not available. It's not done.
So when the relationship seems like it's going to break up, she says, I'll do whatever it takes to keep it. But then as it progresses, then she kind of falls back into her old
pattern.
Yeah,
there's a dynamic there. Does she have any relationship with, like a dog or a cat? Does she have any animals that she loves?
Yes. Yes, her baby is, he's adorable. He's 13. That's her, that's her life, yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, you've never called our show before, Kay, but we get these psychic vibrations, validations, and then we convert that into our interpretation of what's going on because it helps us to understand things on a deeper level. Yeah, I think I think with your partner, there's a real love connection with you, but there's psychological complications that are going on in her mind that really don't benefit her. She has them, but they don't benefit her. She has them because of experiences and how she's internalized those experiences. So it becomes problematic. So in your situation, it would be, my God, can't you just be normal? You know, can't you just loosen up? And she won't, because her triggers have been induced by her upbringing and the way she's experienced it. So it's very hard. So, there's
the
a possibility.
Ingrained.
From my standpoint, at least, I would say work on it. Just try to keep it, you know.
Okay.
But at some point, if you're not compatible, you just have to say, you know what, this could have been a good thing. It's not going to happen this lifetime because there's too many psychological complications and dynamics, and I've got to move on. So, but there, as a sheer prediction, you know, sometimes in calling our show, I don't know, things happen for people. We'll put out energy for that. Did she ever exchange flowers with you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you see, Kay, we're getting the hits. And we're interpreting where we can go with it. And we're giving you a semi-optimistic report. But the reality factor is that it just may not happen.
It seems like it really is dependent on whether the partner is going to step up to the plate and do the work necessary to keep the relationship going.
In any way, she needs you. She needs you. I hate that word, but she needs you. I don't hate the word.
She said... She said that.
Yeah. So you see, I mean, we're pretty right on. But we're caught in a dynamic of a psychological theater, and that's prompting her to have problems, not to her welfare, actually to her detriment. Her psychological triggers are actually making life harder for her. But you have to understand, she can't help it yet. She's triggered.
She had an alcoholic father, and her parents were divorced. So I know there's a lot there. So yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Kay, there's hope though. At least you know there's a positive outlook toward the possibility of this working out. So, I mean,
the only thing you could probably do constructively, if you were going to do anything, and this may be impossible, but to have her do a reading with us, probably a private reading. But if she's not,
you're not open
to
psychics.
No, she's definitely not open to psychics. She's military, and you know, they fix their brain and fix them the way they want.
Hence the therapy thing.
It's like, you know, that's too much like losing control, giving up power.
I know.
We've done therapy
with a lot of military people. I've been doing this over 50 years and lots of people in the military and lots of rational thinking people, because you know, we use also a therapeutic common sense professional approach.
Yeah, it's not just unicorns and
you know
fairies.
Cars and, you know, talking to. So I don't know. We'll put out prayers for your relationship, but the only thing you can do is maybe I don't know what you can do. We'll try to do something. We're trying to encourage you to keep the relationship, but
finding a good therapist is difficult. But that would be maybe the best thing on a physical level,
right?
Maybe I don't, you know, she may be opposed to therapy on any level. I think it might just be the energy field, and we really, this kind of situation probably requires a deeper
discussion,
focus,
yeah,
like a private type thing. But anyways, you're always free to call our show and discuss the progress, if any.
I thank you so much. You did answer some of the questions I thought, and as part of the department you said about working, I'm grateful for that. I'm at a point now where it's like I got to do my better, what's best for my better good, and I'm seeing how that looks. So thank you.
Thank you, Kay. And you can join us on Facebook, Neil and Kristen Baker, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour, Neil Baker Psychic. Those are our pages. And I should post the show today. Yeah, you can join us there. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for more conversation. And we have Jackie here. Hello, Jackie. 1-5-6.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi. So
hi,
last time
Neil.
We talked. Last time we talked, well, what have you done since the last time we talked? Anything? Anything?
I do stuff every day.
As far as the advice about moving forward with, have you done anything?
I got a big lion's share of the taxes off of. I paid the major part of the taxes where they could have foreclosed on the house at any day. And then right after I paid the money, I was able to go through some paperwork and find that they had been notified like 2 or 3 years ago. So I know that's angelic intervention. Somewhere along the line, I was protected.
Great.
I do have another payment to make, and I do have to now put everything together on a spreadsheet and move forward. And that's the major thing that I'm trying to balance now, to do all of that and still survive at work and still survive in my household. But the major threat that has been looming, I took care of that so I could breathe in that sense.
Great. Well, that's good. So what's your question today?
My son turns 21 today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Motivate him because he's my biggest concern under the same roof.
21, and you gave him his birthday before, and he would have been born 1998, right? Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And you know,
he's a Taurus.
He's a full blooded Taurus.
Well,
you know.
I don't. Probably. Yeah. No, we don't really. So really, you know what's really funny, Jackie, is we have another caller who, I don't know, she said something about her rising sign and her sun sign, and it happened to be the same as mine. But then she said, oh, what's your moon in? And I was like, it's in this. And she says, no, you can't. You're totally wrong. So astrology, we don't really, have too much to say
what's
about.
What's going on? My question is, what's going on in my chart right now that I need to kind of like,
so you're not asking about your son. You're asking about yourself. Do you want to ask about yourself?
I believe somewhere along the line, my son's connection to me, like my biggest challenge, my son has something to do with it, this one kid. Because just when I'm able to focus, when I get home, his distractions will throw me off. And there's something karmically going on between him and I that I'm trying to navigate through.
Well, your month, I mean, your day happens to be his month. His year holds your master number 9, but he's a 40 equals 4, right? Is that what you got?
30, I can't.
Oh, wait, did I add that up wrong? 30?
No, you're right.
He's a 40 equals 4, yeah. 40 equals 4. So he has a long way before he gets to that age of that transition, Jackie, which...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can't be difficult, and probably for him it is, because he's still at home with you at the age of 21 with his child and girlfriend. Has he found work at all?
No. He just recently said that he's willing to go and look instead of just depending on unemployment. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I just feel that he's just in his head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Your last two numbers happen to be your last number is 5 and his is 8, and that's his month and day.
Well, that's his month and day and
5-8
day together.
Yeah. Yeah,
so that's
together, 5-8.
That's why it's so intricate. That's in numerical translation, that's why it's so intricate, Jackie, where there's so much complexity between the time. Because in the numerical code, translated into English, there is complexity.
Karma.
It's multi-layered. So there is that zone. You probably, from past life, have a total commitment to his sanity, his balance. And he's got some problems that he's getting through. And he's not even through his karma yet. He's got a long-term karma until 40. So when you have 27 years of karma, he's 40 years of karma. So there's a difference there. Actually, there's a 13-year difference, which is 8 plus 5. So the complications between you are merited by the fact that there are numerical values that translated the complications.
And I don't think always if someone has a high karmic number, it means they're going to be, a backwards maturity level. But there's something going on with your son where he's not taking full responsibility for his life. And you're, due to the fact that you're his mother and whatever karmic ties you have, you feel responsible for taking care of him. But I think that there's a line between, being there for your child and enabling. You want to support him so he's able to, be independent.
To reduce it to numbers, but having said that, you're a 9, and 9s are very enduring. They can handle a lot of stuff. They can incorporate their energies into other people's energies and understand them pretty well. So there is that zone of energy, but again, 9s can have their own complications and difficulties. Even if your master number is 9, the numbers on your linear board are shy of 9. I mean,
yeah.
Your highest is 6. It's about the center right now. So there's a difference in the energy. But that zone, 65 becomes an 11 or a 2, which means that you have karma to take care of relationships. That's your burden, that's your karma. Doesn't mean that it stops you from living, but it means that you have to factor in your relationships with your significant others as you move forward. You're not just an independent clause, Jackie.
Just to add to that,
I believe my husband's number is a 9 as well, too.
What's his birth date?
My husband is 4/4/1962.
Well, and that's your son's master number 4, so that's in your husband's month and day. But I wanted to say also that I want to remind Neil about Jackie's situation with her family and gaining the house. So truly the conflict in relationships not only is in her, home environment under her roof, but it's also with her siblings. There's been a lot of complications and difficulties.
I'm trying to figure out, what did I do in another life to deserve this?
Well, you're
and
word
from day one.
Your husband is not a 9. Your husband is an 8. Not a 9. He's an 8. And his 8 is broken up by his 2 4s and his 62. So he's got his own problems. And what did you do in a past life? You destroyed a lot of foundations. The foundations of your life. You disrupted the foundations of your life by probably being a little bit selfish.
So that involves relationships in the family.
Yeah. So picture you in another lifetime. Picture you in another lifetime, Jackie, and you thought, was that a problem in your family or whatever, and you were an adult, you said, you know what, you take care of it. I've got my life to do. That was the karma that came back to you. So you could even it out by now being overly responsible.
But what's interesting about her husband is your husband is at 26/8, and he happens to hold not only his master number in his month and day, 4 and 4 is an 8, so it's broken up by 4s, which is balanced chakra, but also 62 is his inverted karmic number, but add more to the story, 1962 becomes a 9. So that's your master number. That's where your master number comes in, Jackie.
I thought his life path number was a 9 if you add up all his digits.
No, it's an 8. What did you? How did you add it up? What did you do? Unless you're giving us the wrong birthday.
I added the 4, the 4, and the 1962.
That's
going to be an 8. It's an 8? Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
So 4 plus 4 plus 1 plus 9 is 18 plus 62.
Plus 6 plus 2.
So 6 plus 2 is 26.
Okay. All right.
But that's, you know, don't linger. That's not the your situation is that you have to find your own ground to stand on without compromising the responsibility of karma to others. So in this lifetime, you can't do what you did in a previous lifetime. In a previous lifetime, you didn't considered your journey more important than anybody else's. In this lifetime, now split it in two. That's your journey. You just face it. The best you can do is to work through it, and so you don't have to come back and do it again. Get it over with now. So you're not too off balance, Jackie, to where you can't have a life. You can have a life. But if you bring your mind into such a state that you feel overly responsible for your friends, that you can't do anything, then you're going overboard again. You've got to find a proper balance. You've got to find a proper balance so that you're there for your son, but you're not disrupting your own balance. Now you're okay, but you seem to be going overboard with your son and doing too much, sporting a little bit without feeling guilty, but still be there and then do your journey.
Well, yeah, because you want your son to be, you know, it's really interesting too. All their numbers add up to the age of your son, 21-3. So your son is 21, all your master numbers happen to add up to that, 9, 8, and 4. So I would say, the husband, 17, 18, 19, 20,
21. Oh, to the age?
Yeah. Yeah, it's his age. So, and Jackie's going through a change right now. I mean, I don't know what the cycle of her master is.
She's what, 54?
She's 56, right? Jackie?
No, I'm 54.
I mean, 54, which is the doubling of her karmic number. And
well,
also, it's a multiple of 9 as well, but it's also the doubling of the karmic number. So, you know, you want to encourage your son to be a responsible human being and survive on his own in the world. And sheltering him isn't going to help him.
To a certain degree, I'm sheltering myself because he's been so dependent. And the maturity level hasn't been there. I see it in spells. Like, he reminds me of a pendulum. He goes back and forth. One minute he's fine, next minute he's not. But I realize he can be very manipulative. He's learned that along the way. As a parent, I just want to guide him because he's young. I know I put him in a very hostile situation, and that's where he got messed up. So, yes, I do feel guilty for that because as a parent, you want to protect your child. But moving forward, I also want him to get to the place where, you know, he wake up one morning and it's like, wow, I need to get my stuff together, and I can, because I think he stopped believing in himself. But he's not my only child. You know, I have another son who's trying to move on now, who I know that we have a very karmic connection as well.
He's employed at that in the same place your husband is. They both got work, but the son that is
the other son now is looking to move. He just recently left that job. He's looking to move in the same industry and he's interviewing for it. And I have a third son who's trying to go to law school.
And how many sons live with you? Just the one, right?
I have two.
You have two that live with you?
Yeah, the other one is very independent. He works, he takes care of things, he contributes to the family. You know, he does his part. He's a type A personality. You can't stop him.
Yeah. Here's a quick question for you, Jackie. To the extent that you're devoted to your sons and concerned and responsible, to what extent is that stopping you from doing your life? What would you be doing if you had sheer freedom in your life? What is it?
I would be definitely starting my own business, moving forward with my business, and probably traveling more.
Yeah, but the traveling might be a little bit problematic, but you can start your own business. If you don't start your own business while you're taking care of this, then now something's wrong with you. You've got to have the ability, and you might present 100 excuses, but underneath that, you have the obligation and ability to balance your next children to start your business. So if you're saying you can't start your business because you're a kid, you got to look at.
Well, it's also because of her job. But on the last show, we said go forward with either, because she talked about being holding those teaching in the corporate industry. And we said,
right,
go
I am looking.
You are.
You know? Yeah.
So
I didn't let go of that. I am looking.
Can you start your own business and work in the corporate world?
On paper and during the summer break, I can see myself moving forward with it.
Then do that.
These property restoration stuff that I'm doing now, that's part of one of the things that I want to do in terms of even multiple streams of income, because I see opportunity.
Good. Then do that.
But, you know, don't overload yourself. I would say that, too. You know, find a few things to do and put your focus there. You don't want to spread yourself so thin that you're not committed to any of the things that you're trying to do.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. But the point,
be balanced.
The point of life, Jackie, is to overflow the glass at the time of your death than to keep it, to not fill it up. I'd rather see human beings overflow their glass doing as much as they can in one lifetime than to be short of the rim of the glass.
Right,
so,
and you're not talking about traveling and, you know, going out to restaurants.
No, I feel what you're saying, Neil, because I think that's what the situation has been. My frustration in terms of work has been, you know, the enormous amount of responsibility that they put on us. That's been the biggest distraction.
Right, but,
you know.
I mean, the job has been a problem for quite some time. So either you stay in the job.
It's redundant, but it's paying my bills. It's redundant, but it's paying my bills. It's redundant, but it's keeping me in a position.
Your job is a karmic. Your job is sufficing karma. And your higher self now, you know, life should be, at the end of your life, you should be exhausted and excited. You're exhausted and excited like an athlete. It should be a struggle, and you're exhausted, but you're excited because you're working through everything you can in your passionate life. If you can get to the end of life and be exhausted and excited, you've accomplished your goals. If you're wanting and you're sitting there dreaming about what you could have done, now you're in a little bit more dubious territory. So do it all, Jackie.
As I was saying, that, I mean, of course, enjoying the pleasures of life is a part of it. But we're talking about accomplishing real solid things, leaving a legacy, not in terms of an ego legacy, but in terms of helping the planet in some way, contributing to the betterment of the earth. That's what the exhaustion. You know, you're talking about being exhausted and excited. That's what it's about.
I think I do that in education, and because I mean, and I get validation from many people. It kind of blows my mind because although I'm exhausted, I know that I'm teaching. I know that I'm doing what I can. Getting other people to buy into certain things may be the challenge. That's the frustrating part of it because I love to teach.
Good.
And we talked about on past shows about her having to teach for a certain period of time because of the karmic element of teaching in her life. But going on to teach in the corporate industry, you're still teaching, but it may be in an area where you're more satisfied. I mean, any job situation is going to present its own challenges. But it sounds like the teaching job in the high school that you're in, you're burnout there. So you want to be enthusiastic about what you're doing in life.
I'm going to give you a hint about your numbers real quickly. And five in your month, one and five in day, one and five is six. So visualize that as you also look at the five in your day. That is now translated totally in your year, 65. You're supposed to complete this energy in this lifetime, so you don't return as a 28, 10, 1. You want to be able to put the puzzle of your life is to make that 1-5, i.e. 6-5, into 6-5. That means your third eye, your vision has to be compatible with your expression. So what you say, what you envision, and what you say are on the same page.
So also, Jackie, as a 9, really, 27-9, you're supposed to be done with your journeys on the planet. I mean, that's...
Theoretically, yes.
Yeah.
Supposed to be what?
You're supposed to be done. I mean, as a 9, you really, that's the last master number. So you should be finished with your journeys on the planet.
Before
it
becomes compounded.
Compounded into a 28-10-1. Obviously, people come back and, you know, the karmic numbers get higher and higher and higher. That's common. But as a 9...
When you mean finished with it, meaning that...
We're here on the planet to resolve karma and establish transcendent energy. And so as a 9, you don't want to come back. You want to be done as a 9 because that's the top master number. And you've gone through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now you're a 9. You know, you've completed those journeys. You want to wrap everything up as a 9 so you don't come back as a 28, 10, 1.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, so, right, I always wondered, I guess that's where the term 9 lives come from, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I like big cats, too.
Yeah, exactly. So do we. We've had one kind of roaming around this morning, actually, during our readings,
yeah.
Our cats.
The other thing, you know, you have a 1-5 in your first two numbers, and your first and last numbers are 1 and 5.
Right.
So, I mean, you've got to complete your vision. That's, if you can get to the end of your life, you've got a ways to go, and you've completed your major visions and goals, and you can say, I covered all my bases to hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't get to third base, you get to home plate. You've done it.
And we're going to take 917. I just want to point something else out, Jackie. Your son...
Mm-hmm.
is born in 1998, so that's 9 and 8 are your husband's and your master numbers. He holds those.
17.
9 and 8, though. They're,
yeah.
And additionally, you and your son together become a 13-4. 9 and 4, your master number and your son's master number happen to equal 5 and 8. They're equivalent to his month and day. The total of your master numbers. So it's an intense. It's an intense energy between you. But anyway, hopefully that helps you. We've got to move on to our next caller.
Okay. I like to continue to listen, though, because I learn as I go
along. Yeah, I always mute it. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jackie. Oh, Jackie can join us on Facebook. I don't think she has. She should. I think she's on there. So follow our pages. Send us a friend request. We appreciate it. 917 is our next caller. Hi. Nine 917, are you there? We cannot hear you. They probably got sick of waiting. I'm going to disconnect them, see if they call back. If 917, if you can hear us, call us back. I'm going to disconnect the call because there may be a problem with the connection.
So how much time do we have left?
We have about 18 minutes.
Hmm. Well, you know, I mean, people call about their lives and their situations, and sometimes they get too focused on the situation without understanding the scope of their life journey. So, and
right, their focus gets narrow.
It gets narrowed. So that's typical. I mean, we sometimes have to focus on a specific situation. But to broaden the scope of our interpretation of that situation can actually help us move better. It's like loosening the belt when it's too tight. Sometimes you have to loosen the belt a little bit. You have to widen the circumference of your vision and envelop the fact that there is a wider scope to any, there's a wider interpretation to any one given situation. So if you can see the meaning behind that and then get to the ultimate meaning about the circumference of existence itself, then the details you're somewhat usurped by or disenchanted, whatever it may be, is reduced because you understand the entire scope of existence. Sometimes it takes people to enter the brink of death to get there, and they go, you know what? I came back. I would have died. I came back, and now I realize what's really important. I've been focusing too much on the conditions of just daily life, the distractions. Whitman, the poet Whitman, talked about the distractions of life and how they've taken us away from the scope of nature and the natural world, Walt Whitman. We have to get into an idea that that we are actually in a higher element of life than any one specific problem. Even if that one specific problem has to happen mandate and bring us to some form of concentration, like a fireman entering a burning building to save somebody, they're not going to sit there contemplating, you know, the theories of existence. They're there to do a job. We're all here to do a job, but we also have to understand that the scope, that fireman entering that building understands too that the scope of life is to save life, not just the specific life, but to look at life as a totality of existence. So we look at life as a totality of existence, and we aren't distracted by the specifics. We can do both. We can handle both. But if we put too much attitude into the specific without understanding the abstraction of existence, then we can become overwhelmed by the topic at hand, and we lose sight of the general purpose, and then we lose sight of our foundation and balance. We become obsessed. We start to self-punish ourselves. We neglect things, and things all go haywire. So that is the scope of things. Some of us are better equipped to do it because our third eye, our soul, has advanced to that state through past lives, and some of us have to learn the hard way, and some of us don't learn it at all. But nonetheless, the theory is there, and I think it's important to understand that theory. Another great poet was Wordsworth, who talked about the idea that we spend our life spending money all the time, and we neglect to understand the true quality of nature, that the commercialism of life, the endeavors of life, the interests, the distractions, take us away from the heartbeat of really what we are as a living form. And I think that's important because our heartbeat is to remind us that we are in the energy of the universe, not just in the energy of concerns or pursuits of material value.
Well, we just lost our caller.
Oh, well, you should have told me.
I did.
Anyways, well.
They came back.
Oh,
hold
okay.
on. Hi there, 785.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Yes, my name is Hope.
Hope, okay.
Yes. And
hi
I
there.
Was just, hi. I start a new job on the 16th, and I was just checking to see if you feel that this would be my forever job.
Forever job.
Yeah, a job
forever
that I'm going to retire
you
at.
You sound young. where are you calling from, first of all?
Kansas?
And what's your birth date, Hope?
8/22/66.
And I wrote down an 8, which is your, I should have said it. 8/22, what's your year?
66.
66, wow, you sound, I mean, you're not old by any means, but you sound very young.
Oh, thank you.
You have a very youthful sounding voice. So you're born in the 8th month, 12/22, and 34/7, is that right? You're 34/7. Okay. So you've never called our show before. I don't remember you.
No.
Right? Okay.
Right.
All right. So your master number, your karmic and master number is 34 and 7. Just real quick before we get to your question, you had a change in the year 2000 to 2001, right?
In 1998.
Did I add that up wrong? 66.
In 2000.
2000. 2000, but it would be either 2000 or 2001 because you're born in August. You can, you know, both years are going to probably count. So what, can you go back to that time and think what might have happened? Do you remember? You were 34 years old.
34. I was going through a really bad marriage, yeah.
Okay, bad marriage.
Yes.
And you were ultimately divorced?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so that was your change, and it involved a problem in a relationship. You've got a 22 going on in your day, which is, that indicates that there might be some trouble in relationship. All right, did you ever remarry? Are you single?
In a relationship. I'm not married.
Okay. So you got this job. Neil, are you picking anything up about the field?
I mean, one thing I want to say, Hope, whenever I hear the word Hope, I think of the actress Hope Lang. I don't know if you're old enough to know Hope Lang. She was an actress, too. Her name was Hope, too.
Obviously.
You should look her up. She was a nice actress. Okay, so your 822 adds up to 12. And your 66 in your year adds up to 12. Now, that's significant in terms of the attitude of trying to find some kind of balance. So this job you've got is conflicted. There's a conflict between two other jobs you had previously. So we have to analyze that the two previous jobs you had to this current, quote, occupation has to be factored in. Because there's an evolving sense of your journey through life in terms of the occupation field that has to be considered in terms of your two previous jobs. And I will say that on the side issue, there's something to do with an animal somewhere in your world, a pet that factored in somewhere, not with occupation, but that factored into your life. I'm not sure, you know, if there was an animal at the time of your divorce or you had a great animal that crossed over and affected you, but there's something to do with an animal, and there's something to do with two jobs previously to the current occupation. Can you respond to those comments?
Yeah, I work in the mental health field, and that's what I was doing at the time. And now I am going to be working at a shelter for domestic and abuse, for a women's shelter.
Yeah. So, Hope, I thought you were in the healthcare industry, which you are. So that was on. And that's where you should be because you're a seven. So sevens should be in the area of helping others. That's a spiritual number, seventh chakra. So you're in the right field, but the conflict.
There's conflict in terms of, yes. Because there's conflict in terms of her job. Number one, that's a job of conflict. When you're in the mental health field or shelter, domestic, there's a lot of conflict in there. And of course, you're going to have your clients or your assignments are going to be probably around people who have animals as issues. One, you know, A to Z, they have animals as issues. Your job, you're still vital. You're only 52 years old, and you're probably going to be working ideally for another 13 years or so. So this job that you've got can form into a zone where you're going from 52 to approximately 57, 58. So can it be indefinite? Well, we don't have to worry about indefinite right now. Let's just go to the first leap between 52, 57, 58, somewhere in that zone. And then we can go from there. But yes, there's going to be some level. Now, also, there's some form Hope yet that you could find yourself in an administrative position of the job to where you elevate higher, but not yet. That isn't yet.
Okay.
But that those steps are within the foundation of where you're going.
So she's going to be, you're going to be 53 this year, right?
Yes, that's correct. And this is a kind of a passion for me. Not really passion, but it's, I know because I was in a shelter for domestic violence through my marriage and everything. So I've been in these steps of the women. I walked their shoes. So I think that was one of the reasons why they hired me, because I know how it feels to be in an abusive relationship.
What's your degree in education?
Psychology. I'm working on my master's. I have a BA, and now I'm working on my master's.
Yeah.
Is it like an online master's that you're getting? Or
yeah.
Are you in an actual school? Yeah, it's online.
Well, online.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Hope. Your establishment in your current occupation is strong and solid. It may evolve into administrative work, meaning you might raise in your position and start to talk about policy. Does that interest you at all as a foresight in your foresight?
Yeah, it does. Yes.
Okay, so that's where we think we're going. So you're going to probably be okay here. You're working on your master's, and the job is pretty solid. You'll gather years of more experience working one-on-one with human beings, and then you'll move gradually into the domestic attitude. And do you have a daughter?
Yes, I do.
Well, she just popped in, so I don't know what.
Hi, how are you? No,
I don't know what her
from
attitude
Kansas
is,
to California.
Going for an education, or she's intelligent. She's pursuing some intellectual capacity.
What's your daughter's birth date, Hope?
I have two of them. My youngest one is 3/28/93.
That's interesting because 8 and 2 is her day. That's the first two numbers in your birth date. Okay, 8/2/93, and what? I mean, 3/28/93?
Yeah,
35/8. Yeah, she's a 35/8. Okay, and what's the other daughter?
The other one is May 22nd, 1990.
So you're both born on the 22nd. That's interesting,
yeah.
Too. So past life connection, 9/19/28/10/1. She's compounded.
Yeah, and her dad is also born on the 22nd.
Yeah, well, that
and
happens.
She has
a, you
know, daughter.
Yeah. She has a son that's also born on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the daughter has a son born on the 22nd?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problematic relationship. But are either of your daughters pursuing intellectual matters?
My youngest one wants to. But she just doesn't have the time, she says, but she needs to. I've been encouraging her. She wants to do psychology.
Okay, well, that she should do. What's the other one doing?
She's a stay-at-home mom. She has 3 little ones. Her husband is in the military.
Oh, wow. So she's got her hands full.
Well, then it's the one with the psychology. You should put a lot of effort into encouraging her to go into psychology.
What's the reason that she's not? Is that the one born in 93 or the one born in 90? 93, right?
The 93. She's a self-harmer. She was a cutter, and she has bipolar. So she has experienced a lot of mental health issues.
So that's what's preventing her from going forward in education, furthering her education, her mental health issues?
It might be, but she's really smart, but she has a 3-year-old. So
she has a child, too.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
The one born 93. So both of them have children. The one has 3 children. The one has, with the interest in psychology, the one born in 1993 has a child and has mental health issues. Does she work at all? Is she in a relationship or is she a single mom?
She works for the state. She makes really good money. She processes state insurance applications, and she loves her job.
Well, she's productive, and she's, you know, that's good. And she has a child, so she has. And is she single mom or relationship?
She's a single mom.
Yeah. So, it's hard because she probably has little time to go to school with a full-time job and raising a child. But, you know, nowadays, as you know, you can get education online and, you know, work around whatever type of employment schedule that you have. So encouraging her to be in the psychology field is important. And obviously she's productive and she's, you know, she likes her job. So there's no reason that she can't go into, you know, a higher level of the work field, if you will. But hopefully that did we help you at all?
Yeah.
She was asking about her work.
Yeah.
And so, did that help?
Yes, it did. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to stay in your job. I mean, and then ultimately go into administration.
The master's is going to help her get into administration.
Yeah.
Getting your master's is going to get more credentials and you make you more appealing because you have that educational background, you know?
Yes.
Okay, we're actually at the end of our show, Hope, so we got to wrap up. But
okay, thank you.
Thanks. You can follow us on Facebook and like our pages. We'd really love it if you joined us there, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck to you. All right. We are out of time. We're back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, callers and listeners. We'll speak with you on Friday. Bye-bye.